welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and thank you for staying with us. I'm still Brother Godson Uba, and with me is still our beloved pastor, Pastor Moses Ali. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so other questions are coming in. We have another one. It says, dear Pastor Moses, thank you so much for the answer you gave with regards to my question last week about the gift of faith and why faith is translated as revelation in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. In furtherance to those questions, I have these follow-up questions based on how you explain the gift of faith and the examples you give of how the gift has manifested through you. I feel this gift is supposed to be exhibited by all believers of Christ because it could be a life-saving gift, as in the examples you gave. All right? It could also be an instance to show people that God is real and then win them over to Christ. That makes me to wonder, because as some other teachers put it, the nine gifts of the Spirit are in every Christian and they manifest when they need to. Just like the examples you gave, the gift of faith manifested when there was need for it. And such manifestations does not happen anytime. But I also know you have mentioned before that all Christians cannot speak in tongues, which is one of the nine gifts, which by extension can also, which can infer that all Christians cannot operate the gift of faith. So how do we balance these two different understandings and perspectives? This is my own understanding. The more you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, the more his gifts in you manifest, and not just the gifts, but also the fruits. What said thou, Pastor Moses? I would also want you to pray for the gift of God in me to burst forth. I'm in expectation. This Brakayode from USA.
I hope I really catch the questions very well. First and foremost, a teaching that every believer has all the nine gifts inside of you is wrong. The reason is because those gifts, we see them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You will see from verse 7.
So from verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without.
Yes.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
So you can see, one person has the word of wisdom, another person has the word of knowledge. Two gifts, two different people, but the same Spirit. And you continue to another.
To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing.
So, one person may have faith, the other one may have healing. And then he came like that, verse 11.
Verse 11, but all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
He divides it. And that is the parable of the talents. In Luke chapter 19, he gave some five, some one, some this. And that is why Apostle Paul, we read this earlier in verse 28 and 29.
Okay, 28 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversities of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles.
30.
Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret.
And the answer is simply no. No. So the teaching that everyone has it is wrong. Now, you're also saying that the gift of faith is what every Christian should operate. Now, it is a gift. There is the measure of faith that every Christian should have. But it is interpreted as belief. And that is like the childlike faith. Every, you know, we are to be like children That's why Christ brought a child and set him as an example. The greatest in the kingdom will be like this child. The child believes all things. And he has confidence in the Father. That is faith. Now he said, if you have faith as a little as mustard seed, you know, you will tell this mountain, be you removed, and it will be removed. But there is also the gift of faith. Anything that is a gift is something that is inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's unique in itself. So, and everybody cannot have it because it is a gift. God bless you.
Further to the question that was asked, I wanted to actually point verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, where it says, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Could one actually covet the 9 gifts as in pray to God and God just gives you?
But it's not a doctrine to say everyone must have it.
Okay.
If you ask and he gives you, they say he gives severally as he wills.
Okay.
And he gives according to your ability.
Okay.
So if you have the ability to operate the whole night, okay, he will give you.
Okay, we have this sister Linda from Ghana. Says, Shalom Pastor, please, does Holy Ghost take away your peace anytime a believer backslide? Because I feel that way anytime my prayer life and my zeal towards the things of God begin to diminish, and my life becomes peaceful when I reconcile with the Lord. So can it be that I have the Holy Ghost without knowing it? Sister Linda from Ghana.
That is what the psalmist, I think that is Psalm 51, verse, let's say, verse 10.
Okay, verse 10. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Mm-hmm. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
So if you say restore, that is evidence of a child of God.
Okay.
In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So you can grieve him, and when you grieve him, you lose your peace. He stops fellowship with you. And when you stop fellowship with God, you know, the joy of salvation is missing. So yes, Sister Linda,
from Ghana.
You can lose it, and then when you repent and you come back, he restores you, restores fellowship, and then you continue. That is evidence of a true child of God, and that the spirit in you is actually the spirit of God. Because others will continue, there's nothing checking them, they continue, they go when they like, anyhow, you know, that is another evidence of lack of conversion. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Linda. God bless you, Sister Linda from Ghana. Okay, we have other questions coming in. But it says, Shalom, Pastor. Please, question one, please, on the issue of predestination, in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, can one be predestined by purging himself, as in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, to be among the chosen of the Lord? And can a predestined child of God be removed because he hasn't purged himself?
No, predestination is by foreknowledge.
Okay.
There's no action you do that will define your definition other than the action that God already knows and has defined your future.
Okay.
So predestination is by God's own foreknowledge, not by purging yourself. That makes that you will become predestinated, that your destination is determined before you begin. That's an English terminology.
All right. So question two from the same person says, in your teachings, I got to know that some scriptures are specifically for the Jews, like Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 32, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8 to 9. If those scriptures are for Jews, we continue the next. Okay, why are they written in the Holy Bible when God knows that we, the physical Gentiles, cherished every of his word? So can't we apply those Bible passages to our current situations or claim the promises attached? I ask this because we use most of these or most of those Bible passages for prayers, exhortation, preaching, and so on. God bless you. This is Favor Obianuju from Abuja.
This is that Favor. That is the reason why Apostle Paul said we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Then he added, rightly dividing the word of truth so that you will know how to apply each scripture that you read. There are scriptures we read that become example for us. And there are scriptures we read and claim it too, because we position ourselves that we are, that just as he did it for Israel, if we also find ourselves in the same condition, he will do it for us too. That is rightly applying the word, dividing the word of truth. It's actually applying it also appropriately. So yes, there are scriptures for the Jews and there are also scriptures for the Gentiles.
All right, God bless you, Sister Favor from Abuja. All right, we have other questions coming in, and this is from South Africa. Sister Gift from South Africa is saying, Shalom to the Bride of Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? As scripture says, he received the Spirit without a measure. Does that make him God?
Who is that?
Sister Gift from South Africa.
From South Africa.
Yes. Does that make him?
What you are saying is, what makes him God?
Since he received the Spirit of God without measure, does that make him God?
That is, if the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him, he becomes God.
All right.
Remember that he became God by incarnation of the Spirit. That body that you saw was housing God. That is what he was called, Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
And the mystery is so interesting, and people argue about it, like my sister from South Africa and other people. So Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16, he said, and without controversy. That means there is controversy. He said, great. Is the mystery of godliness. What did he say?
God was manifest in the flesh.
So who was that? It's Christ.
Christ.
Emmanuel.
Justified in the spirit.
God was justified in the spirit.
Seen of angels.
Angels saw him on earth here.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
Preached here on earth here.
Believed on in the world.
And God was
received up into glory.
Because he came from there, he went back to what he has always been. So he is God.
All right. God bless you, Sister Gift from South Africa. That's interesting. We have brethren calling and coming in or sending in their messages and their questions from various parts of the world. Brother Victor, Shalom, God bless you. Shalom and God bless you. You can go on with your question.
My question goes when Jesus talked about sin unto death.
Okay.
And blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And I want to ask, in a situation, somebody has not come into Christ and they keep speaking against the Holy Ghost, or some things you have not heard when you are inside church. But when you come to know that it's against the Holy Ghost, can that thing be forgiven?
Sorry, I don't understand.
One who has been speaking against the Holy Ghost before the person came into Christ.
I want you to understand, Brother Victor. An ignorant person cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You are doing it ignorantly. It is for those who already know it is the Holy Ghost in operation. But because of a selfish reason and envy, they call it occultic power. They call it devil in operation. Not an unbeliever who doesn't know anything. You are walking in ignorance. An unbeliever does not commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't know anything better than that.
Okay, my second question is that in against the Holy Ghost, you both don't know that God the Father, God the Son is one person. And this sin against the Holy Ghost, when you sin against God, he can forgive you. When you sin against God, he can forgive you. Why is it that he cannot forgive when you go against the Holy Ghost?
You still, is the same person. You still don't understand, Brother Victor, if you have been listening to me, I said that Jesus Christ himself was the one speaking in Matthew chapter 12. He said, every sin against the Son of Man, that is, who is this Son of Man? Is Jesus Christ in his prophetic ministry, preaching the word of God. You can say anything against him while he is there in the flesh here with us, because Then he came to be rejected. He came to be spat upon. He came to be crucified and killed. You can do any nonsense you want to do. It's part of what he came for. But after he has conquered and won the victory on the cross on Calvary, then he, the same, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's not another person. The doctrine of three persons in one God is unscriptural, is wrong. That same Jesus, he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. He's there by his Spirit. Now he comes again into his church that he has given birth to, purchased with his own blood. After he has conquered, you are still calling him devil. He said, that sin is not forgivable here or hereafter. So it's still the same sin against the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you.
In the Spirit. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, brother. Victor from Ebonyi State. All right, this says, Shalom, Pastor. Please, I want to know if it's right for me to eat before Sunday service or any morning service.
There is no doctrine for it.
Okay.
You can eat anytime. Even when service is going on, you can leave the church if you are hungry. Go and eat and run and come back and join them. There is no doctrine against it.
All right, question two says, Sir, according to your Rapture Watch teaching on mixed multitude, error in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to know if we can link that to Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15, as error that was mixed into the real gospel.
Matthew what?
Matthew 28, says 11 to 15, says, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day.
So what is it? Say mixed multitude.
No,
listen to verse 11. Error. What is verse 11?
Verse 11 says, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done.
Who are these people that were set?
The soldiers.
As watch. They were the soldiers. Mm-hmm. If you go to chapter 27.
Okay.
From verse 62.
Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
The same people that crucified Jesus, they were the ones going to make sure that Jesus didn't rise. Remember, they crucified him for various reasons. These are the leaders, the priests, in fact, they said the chief priests and the Pharisees. Yes. Yeah. They came unto the Pilate, the governor, and told him, See, this man said you rise the third day. He remembered that he's a deceiver. So Pilate said, Okay, you get the people that will go and watch. Right. So from who will he get? So they're from among them. And they put the people there. Now the soldiers say, Okay, go. The man is actually risen, but go and say the disciples came and then stole the body away. So what is this question? Mixed multitude? What is mixed multitude?
Also they were referred to the errors also that came in.
This is not error. We're talking about the activities that took place during his resurrection. Okay. Remember, the crucifixion had just taken place about 3 days earlier. Yeah. And now they are coming to see the tomb open. It's still within the same period. The confusion is still going on. Those who kill him want to make sure he doesn't rise at all. So they are the same ones to go to town and say, it's a liar, the disciples that came and things like that.
All right, there's a question that still continues, same person. Says, question three, how can one manage a situation where demon is using either the man or woman to their spiritual life?
Bind the person.
Okay, any, e.g., for example, anytime that one that's, okay, that one that is spiritually minded wants to embark on a spiritual exercise, the other person is being possessed by demon to him or her. So how can one manage it, Brother Emma from Greece?
Or you manage some, that is,
I think it's that must be
that would be, maybe, then, that would be somebody that you cannot avoid physically. Yes. How do you
manage such a situation?
Do you manage such a person? I don't know how my partner can affect my spiritual life. The Bible says, where sin did abound, what happened?
Grace abound much more.
Grace abound even much more. When you have such a challenge around you, that is when God increases your grace. Mm. The only thing is that the two of us will not be able to do things together. Okay. But how will it affect my spiritual life? It will stop me from reading my Bible or stop me from prayers? I don't know. You will do things that will offend me. I only see you as God using you to teach me patience. Mm. You won't be my enemy, but you'll just be one that God is using to teach me. And in my privacy, I'll be committing that partner, you know, to the Lord in prayer. God knows how to take care of it. So that's how you do it. Ask for grace to work with such a character around you. Simple.
All right. God bless you. So we still have other messages coming in. Question. Okay, we have a caller. Brother Innocent from Benue State. Shalom and God bless
Shalom,
you.
Sir.
Shalom.
God
you can
bless
go
you.
With your
Shalom.
Question.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
My name is Bro Innocent. I'm calling from Benue State.
Okay.
And I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Is it possible for one to have the Holy Spirit and the person is still, like sin is still found in the person?
Okay.
Yes.
I answered that question some minutes ago.
I've answered that some moments ago and I've been answering it especially on this program.
Yes, sir.
Listen to the statement that Apostle Paul made in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17.
Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 and 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law."
So, and evidence that you are not walking in the Spirit, you are not allowing the Spirit to lead you, is what they call, the effect of it is what you call the works of the flesh, in verse 19.
Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest."
So you, if you have the Holy Ghost, you can fall into adultery. You can fall into fornication and all uncleanness and all that are listed there. Yes, if you don't allow the Spirit of God to work on you, then you walk on it and you will not enjoy the joy of salvation.
All right. My second question.
Okay.
My second question is that during that June camp, I was like wondering the way you preach the gospel to us. You open the Bible to our understanding, and I was like, how the way I see the way you preach is as if how you wish anybody that come across your message that God should give that person Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I was like praying that how I wish that God would give me double of your anointing. And when I was on my way going to shop and I was still meditating everything that you always said concerning the Holy Ghost, and I was like worrying, and immediately I began to speak in my heart that this pastor is so much worried that everybody should have the Holy Ghost. And immediately I, I heard a voice in my heart that it is because you speak that is why I heard you. And me also, I have to speak to another person so that the person can hear the truth also.
Okay.
So what's your question?
Hello, sir.
What is your question?
My question is that about a few days ago, I saw you in a dream and you were talking to me, and I woke up and I gripped fears all over me. So I don't know. That is why I decided to ask.
The emphasis is not you seeing me that would be fear to you. It must be that you had me say something to you in the spirit that made you to be afraid. Correct?
Yes, you and Olumide was talking to me. You were advising me, telling me a lot of things.
So, now listen to what you heard and see it as God talking to you. Take heed to what you have spoken. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
And right. Why do you want a double portion of the grace upon me?
Because you make me to understand the Bible.
And may God grant your heart desire so that you also have a double number of people I win to Christ every day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. Remember that every pastor we have, our ministry is not fulfilled until that sinner that gave his life to Christ in your church, in your ministry, is led to the fountain of living water. Until Christ gives that person the Holy Ghost, you have not yet succeeded in your ministry. So my success in the ministry is not the number of people that are in my church, but the number of people that have received the Holy Ghost through my ministry, that will account for my crown. A lot of people make mistake and think that the bigger your church is, the bigger your crown. No, 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 no. And I always want you to note that it is from those who come that the elect are chosen. That is why many are called. And I'm not going to be rewarded for the many that come to my church, but many that are chosen from my ministry. So that is why my emphasis, if I have that revelation, is for the people to have the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, you cannot go in the rapture. And what does it profit you? You gave your life to Christ. You are serving in a church. Everybody knows you. And when it is time to go in the rapture, you are not able to go simply because you did not know the requirement and you did not subject yourself to fulfill that requirement for going in the rapture. And that's all this ministry is all about, to lead the people to receive the visa to go to heaven. God bless you, Brother Innocent. May the Lord grant your heart desire.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Right, God bless you, Brother Innocent, and God bless you, everyone. We definitely know the importance of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we have this Sister Cynthia from Cameroon. It says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ. Pastor, is it bad for a Christian to plait locks hair with her natural hair? That's probably dreadlocks.
Whatever it is, I've answered this question several times about women dressing, Christian dressing generally. Mm-hmm. Whatever you put on, there must be a motive for it. Let that motive portray godliness and not fashions of the world. Don't move with the trend of the world. Don't do that. That is what James spoke in James chapter 4, verse 7. What did he say?
Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
So friendship with the world is to move with the trend of the fashions of the world. So that is why we must not copy the world. They have their reason why they put some things on their faces. You know, that's why Christ said we should not even put marks on our skin. They have a reason why they put the marks on the skin. But God said, you stay natural, you know, maintain the beauty you have. But don't go the worldly way. So that is my answer for you. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Cynthia, and several other persons that might have similar questions. Okay, we have another one. And that is Brother Abraham from Kano State, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, Pastor. Please, I want to know if there's anything wrong for a Christian to participate in a lottery games according to the scripture. God bless you, Brother Abraham from Kano State, Nigeria.
I don't know.
Lottery.
I don't know anybody. I don't know any scripture about lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this Bible study. I don't know any scripture that condemns lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different types of lottery.
Too.
There is lot, mm-hmm. as the choosing of Matthias to replace Judah. Lots are cast, and some other portions in the Bible where lots are cast. That is lot.
Mm.
Then we have like the American lottery is also a lot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a particular number is put. I don't see anything wrong in that. Yes, you prayerfully do that. But when you have to go into gambling, you know, I put this hoping that I will get 1 million in return. Mm. I call it, that is the spirit of laziness. Laziness, you have to work, you have to sow to reap. And it's not that type of sowing. So to go and play Baba Jebu is a curse upon that person's laziness. It's a lazy person that you don't want to work and you want to eat.
Mm.
You must work to eat. Not to sit down, then you collect your, and then hope. They collect, and then sometimes they will enter debts. And they go poorer and poorer, hoping against hope that one day their own will enter. It's a spirit of laziness. Don't do that. No, don't do that. And my brother is from Kano.
Yeah, from Kano State.
And if you are in Kano, Pastor Benson is in Kano with the Kano Church. But in case you are looking for brethren to worship with, and you are watching from Kano, I'll be giving numbers anywhere they call like this, so that they can know there are brethren around there. 08034-502-180, Pastor Benson. 08034-502-180, Kano Church, Bride Assembly Kano, as they call themselves.
All right.
God bless
you. We have a caller, and that's Brother Smart from Delta State. Brother Smart, God bless you. You can go on with your question, sir.
Shalom, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Smart.
Yes, I'm Smart from Abo, Delta State.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Please, Abed, I want to ask a question. In the book of Ecclesiastes, although I don't know the particular number now, he said, money answered everything.
Said what?
Can money give
money
peace?
Answered all this.
That's my question.
Can money give peace? All these things. He doesn't remember this. That's Ecclesiastes 10, verse 19.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. What?
Yes.
He said, can money do what?
Can money give peace? Give or peace. Peace?
No, you should understand the context that it used.
Okay.
You know that the only thing that money cannot give you, money cannot give you eternal life.
Okay.
But money can give you peace if you use it correctly. If you use it properly, can give you peace. Money can also give you trouble. That's why he said money
answered
all things. It can give you trouble because the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
When people covet after, they pierce their soul, their faith is affected. Apostle Paul says so. So you are correct. The Bible is correct. I believe that too.
Okay, we have this from Sister Obi from Abuja. Says, first question, is it good for a believer to give out her jewelries and dresses she has before she repented to unbelievers? That's a question.
That there is a scripture about among the laws in Israel. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 14.
Okay.
and verse 21. Listen very well.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21, and it says, "Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself.
Yes.
Thou shalt give it unto the stranger."
You are not to eat anything that dies of itself. Why? Because it is unclean. Go on.
"Thou shalt give it unto the stranger."
But you can give it to a stranger
that is in thy gate, that he may eat it,
or
thou mayest sell it
unto an alien.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Now that tells you that when you consecrate yourself unto the Lord, you are holy.
Mm-hmm.
You are now a Christian. Mm. Things that are termed unholy, he said, you can give it out. Give it out to those, that use it, not holy people. Now, I know somebody will say, but why will I give something that is poisonous?
Mm.
Something I don't like, why should I give it to another person? Well, it is because that is their food. Unbeliever, that is their own food. That is for them. It is useful to them in their lifestyle. But to you, it is poison to you.
Mm.
Now, that is one reason. And secondly, you may say, but somebody I want to convert.
Yes.
How can I give it to him again when I'm saying it is bad to use it? And I said that when you want to win somebody to Christ, you don't go to tell him to stop wearing this, to stop wearing that. You have to tell him about Jesus Christ and not the cloth to wear and how. Mm. Don't teach them morality. You are teaching them. When they now come to Christ, they will drop those things.
Mm.
And thirdly, now, this is counseling.
Okay.
In line with this scripture, we find a leading here. Now, you have trinkets, gold, valuable things. Mm. You bought it somewhere.
Mm.
There are people that convert that to money and things like that, to precious things, because other than maybe earring, maybe other than that, it can be used for some other things. Now, anything that you can no longer use, go to where you buy it from and return it and collect back your money. That is how it is done.
Mm.
Collect back your money. Go back to where they sell them, the jewelry, the blacksmiths, or whatever you call the goldsmiths. Take it back to them and sell it to them. Collect back your money because you cannot use them again. Mm. They are unclean. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Sister Obi. She still has a second question. Says, "Secondly, I have been having a dream where you are praying for me in the Bride Assembly Church altar in Lagos, and also where you are telling me something several times. But the one thing that is giving me concern is the one I had 2 months ago where you told me not to forget to send you a recharge card in that dream. But I have been battling with my spirit on that. I said, how can? I don't have your number. I have never ever met you before, but I got more disturbed after watching last week Tuesday Resurrection service, where you said there's a sister that her husband told her that he had a revelation to give you an offering. Okay, not to look at the amount. She should not look at the amount. I've been looking at it that way and also afraid of being mistaken or looked at it somehow. Please, I want to send the recharge card, okay, and free my mind. It has been giving me a lot of restlessness. Sir, which number should I send the recharge card to?" Okay. Then thirdly, "I need more clarification on Deuteronomy 14:21. That's what we just read, which is not good to, okay. So that's the recharge card that's remaining.
Give that which is not good to." my number is known by all members in case you don't have it. Now, first and foremost, it's not that I need recharge for my phone.
Mm.
What the Lord is telling you is just confirming my teaching on this mystery of offering.
Okay. Mm.
There are several things that are done. Remember, I always teach from my knowledge of God that God is not a God of action, but a God of reaction.
Yeah.
There are things that you must do. to provoke God to act for you.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you don't pray, you don't receive.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and if you don't give, you don't also receive. And so one of the things that you do to ignite, well, my secret has been let out by by Brother Shile and Bright TV. So my phone is on the screen now for the whole world to see. So quickly, I copy it, my sister, while I'm trying to answer your question. It is obedience. Mary at the marriage in Cana told the people that came to her to talk to Jesus. Yes. And that principle still stands.
Mm.
Whatever he tells you to do,
do it.
Mm. And each time God wants to bless you, he will cause you to make an action.
Mm.
And if he tells you to send an offering to me, it means he wants to use that action of that offering you are sending to bless you. Maybe you have a need, he wants to visit you. It's a mystery of offering. I don't understand it, but I don't know why I must put offering to move God sometimes. I say sometimes. So I would advise you to send the credit. And when you send the credit, send me a text. And I will acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fulfill it. And then remind God that you have done it all. Let him show you the reason why he told you to send the credit. God bless you. I'm not in need of credit. I'm not in need of it. It is therefore the obedience that God wants to see you do and see it as reason to bless you. And it don't look at the amount. You see, somebody, I have given these testimonies several, it happens several. Somebody will come to me that the Lord led in my heart, or I just want to give you an offering. And I ask the person, what are you believing God for? And the solution comes immediately, and they testify. But I'm careful to say some of these things because it could be meant to do look as if you want God to answer your prayer, then give me an offering. That would be wrong. There is nothing in the Bible that says if you want the pastor, you want God to answer your prayer, take an offering to the pastor. That would be wrong. That would be wrong. After all, if I am your pastor, I'm entitled to be taken care of by you anyway.
That's true.
You call me daddy.
Yes.
The Bible says, if you call me your father, then where is my honor? You know, won't you take care of your father before in the Lord? But there is always a blessing that goes with it when you take care of your father, spiritual father or physical father.
Okay.
And I always say something that it can also mean that since you have been... since you have been connected to this ministry, you have not given a gift to this man that has been a blessing to you. So God could tell you, give him a gift. You have been benefiting. You are not giving him anything. A sister that came to me one time and I prayed with her, serious miracle took place of serious healing. And then she got home and somebody sent her an amount of money. And she was rejoicing because she needed the money. She said, a voice spoke to her, take that money and go and give to my servant Moses. And then he came. She came and she said she cried. I said, why were you crying? She said, because she needed the money. But she has to bring it. Well, I told her, I think the amount was 20,000 or so, so many years ago. And I said, well, I'm not in need of 20,000. But it must be that after you received this miracle, you did not come to thank God. And God wants it that your healing to be permanent. It's a principle. You see, so that you not spoil my testimony for praying for you. 10 lepers. We are healed by Jesus Christ. Only one came back. And Jesus said, go, thy faith has made you whole. that means your faith has made your healing permanent. Mm-hmm. So also, so there are various reasons why God uses offering to bless the people. It's not a principle. I repeat, there's nothing in the Bible that says, if you want God to bless you, bring offering to me. You have to bring offering as you are led. But there are fertile grounds. One of the grounds is the ministers of God. Amen. If you take care of them, then you will have their reward. What is a prophet's reward? What he's saying there is that you'll be a partaker of the grace of that minister. Amen. That's it. So please, sister, I'll be waiting for my recharge.
All right, God bless you. Okay, we'll take this to be the last question for today. We still have from Brother G. All right, say shalom, sir.
Brother G Money. Brother G Money from Lagos. Brother G G Money. What is he saying?
Shalom, sir. In your teachings, you said holiness is not righteousness, that it's rather a part of righteousness.
Sure.
Likewise, godliness. Sir, what exactly is godliness and holiness? Brother G from Lagos.
Godliness is a life always pleasing before God, which includes righteousness, holiness, obedience. A life always pleasing before God is godliness. Mm-hmm. A life that is God conscious, you are God conscious, is godliness. And this is a godly life. An example in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4.
Yes.
And he said, think on this.
Yes. 4 verse 8.
Chapter 4. This is godliness. Mm. A God-conscious life is called godliness. Mm. And this is part of godliness. Mm. Verse 8.
Say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on this.
Why did he say should think on this? Because as a man thinketh, so is he.
Amen.
So what he's saying here, Brother G Money,
godliness,
G Money, the father of many nations, you sent in this question. That is godliness, a God-conscious life, a life that you want to live a life pleasing before God. Jesus said, my father heard me always because I do those things that are pleasing before him. That is also godliness. Mm. God bless you.
All right. We call it a wonderful day. Thank you for being with us. We call it a day. We say thank you to every member of the Bright TV. And also thank you to all those, the sponsors of the Bright TV. And we also want to remind you, Rapture Watch, every Saturday, 8 p.m., where we also look further into the Word. Don't miss it. God bless you and shalom from us here.